words of love, words of power that will never fail, powerful words inspired by an all-powerful God. Quiet our minds and remove all distractions so we can listen, hear, and have your words planted deep in us. Be with Pastor Noggle as he brings your holy truth to life. Fill him with your Holy Spirit as he teaches and fills us with the same Spirit as we learn, understand, and seek to apply your word in our daily lives with grateful and humble hearts. Amen.
Well, good morning, class. There's the bell. It's time to get started this morning. In our class, I invite you to take your textbooks out, please. I know you all have them. Open up to our text this morning in Psalm chapter 34. Psalm 34. I suspect you didn't know you signed up for a class today, but I'm glad you're here anyway. It's a good time to be together and work in this setting this morning. I'm glad to be here. You know, our class today is all about examining the good life and learning the five fundamental lessons of the good life. And so it's important that you are here today and understand what this class is about. You know, whenever you sign up for a class, one of the important questions is, who's the instructor? You know, as your student, you kind of know who you want as a teacher and maybe who you don't want as a teacher. Well, today, I'm just the speaker. Our instructor this morning is really David, King David, a man after God's own heart, the man who killed lions, killed bears and brought down giants, a man who struggled with family problems, a man who wrote scripture. He's really our instructor today, a man with vast experience, especially when it comes to our topic today, the topic of the good life. And so we want to hear from David this morning. Hope you have your textbooks open and hear what David had to say. Psalm 34, we want to read beginning at verse 8. And read down through verse 14. Our text this morning in our class goes like this. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. That's our text this morning from our instructor, King David. So now we want to not only know our text and our topic, but what are the objectives of this class? Any good class has objectives, amen? I know there's at least one teacher out there. You got to have objectives. And so our objectives are to not only hear about the good life, but we want to move closer to mastering the five fundamental lessons about the good life. We want to not only hear them, we want to take hold of them. And we want to move forward in mastering the good life. Now, I want to ask you a very difficult question. So we got to be listening very closely. It's a question that David alludes to in our passage. It goes like this. How many of you want to see the good life? How many of us want to enjoy the good life? Want to love the days that we live? Raise our hands. It's not a very tough question, is it? You know the question almost always, the answer is Jesus, they say, when you're in church. But anyway, we want to love life. We want to see many good days. And some of us in this classroom this morning may be saying, I'm about as far from the good days as I think I've ever been in my life. You know, when I was greeted at the door this morning and when I walked in to Living Hope, and I always enjoy coming here, especially as your guest teacher this morning in this class, I was asked a question. Was that your father's obituary I read in the paper a couple of weeks ago? And the answer to that question is yes. The last 2 months or so in my life has, I've walked a path that has been unique for my wife and I when we received the call that my dad had entered the presence of God. But for some of us here today, you might feel like you've got it made. I don't know where we are, but the fact is that when the hands went up a few moments ago, it was close to being unanimous that we want to love life and we want to see good days. Now, before we go any farther, we have to make sure, we have to be absolutely clear on what we mean by the term good life. What in the world is the good life? Well, if a picture's worth a thousand words, we've got a picture this morning to show everyone. That, for many, may represent the good life. Especially on a snow-flurry, cold day at the end of January in Wisconsin. It's a life that's marked by no worries, no cares, no hassles. You're on easy street. You got it made. You can just sit back and watch the tide roll in. Soak your feet in the water. I mean, you know what that's like. You know, you look around, some people have all the breaks. They've got it made. They've got it made in the shade. That's probably where the people are on this vacation. It's a little hot. They're off in the shade. That's why we don't see them. The good life. Well, brethren, at best, this picture is really misleading. At best. You see, if we do some serious thinking, if we're brutally honest with ourselves, and nobody can do this except your own self, all of us have a mental picture in our minds about what we mean when we say, the good life, that's the good life. That's the life that somehow is eluding me, that somebody else has. So we need to be absolutely clear what we mean when we say the good life. You see, because when we look at the good life like this, the good life is all wrapped up in basically one word, and that word is circumstances. That I can't have a good life because my circumstances are bad. I don't get the breaks. I have one problem after another. And so the good life is somehow beyond my reach. It's beyond my grasp. It's built around what happens to me. And if that's our viewpoint of the good life, then yes, brethren, we will never experience the good life. That's why this class this morning is so important, because we need to master the five fundamentals of what it means to participate, to share in the good life. We need to be absolutely clear that the good life is not based on our circumstances. It's based rather on truth. And so in the words of our instructor this morning, David, I would say to us, class, gather round. Class, verse 11, come, my children, and listen to me. And I will teach you the fundamentals of the good life. Where does it begin? Oh, by the way, I hope you have your notes out, right? You guys got your notes out? You're taking notes? God bless you, class. The good life flows, number one, from learning the fear of the Lord. From learning the fear of the Lord. You count it up. But the fear of the Lord is mentioned multiple times in this passage. One of the songs we sang a few moments ago mentioned the word reverence. Reverence. And oftentimes the fear of the Lord is defined as reverence for God. Now, do we need to be reverent before God? Good job, class. Absolutely. We need to know who God is and who we are, and we need to be reverent before God. But this morning, I want us to unpack the fear of the Lord, because the first fundamental lesson in understanding the good life is that it flows out of a life that fears God. Now, probably one thing that many of us know is what the Bible says in Proverbs 1:9. Solomon wrote in Proverbs 1:9 that of the beginning of wisdom... Oh, let me back up. He says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. In fact, you might want to turn in your textbooks to the book of Proverbs if you want to do that. Proverbs 1:9 talks about the fear of the Lord. And then, if you flip over to the last chapter, chapter 31, verse 30... it says, the woman who fears the Lord is greatly to be praised. So what we have here in the book of Proverbs is, we have the book of Proverbs is framed from beginning to end with the concept of the fear of the Lord. It's the beginning of wisdom, chapter 1, verse 9. Chapter 31, verse 30, it extends to the woman who fears the Lord is greatly to be praised. So it frames the book of Proverbs. By the way, I would encourage you on your own time, not during class time, to do a study of the fear of the Lord, the fear of God. Look it up in the back of your Bible. Look it up online. Go to Bible Gateway online. Look it up. You'll find it sprinkled from the beginning to the end of the Scriptures. So, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So the good life cannot be lived without wisdom. Why is the fear of God the beginning of wisdom? Well, I'm glad you asked. Good question, class. It's because the fear of the Lord has really a two-part meaning. Number one, the fear of the Lord is learning to trust God and obey God. Now, I know this is pretty complicated. I know it's difficult to understand, so please forgive me. But the fear of the Lord is comprised of two basic components, that of trusting God and obeying God. You know I'm being a little facetious, right? It's absolutely fundamental, and it really isn't complicated at all. But it is absolutely necessary if you and I are going to gain a handle on what the Bible calls the good life. That we are to trust and obey. Now, what's our good example? Our great example is found in Isaiah 11, verses 2 and 3. This is a passage that speaks about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Isaiah wrote and said that the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. Jesus' joy, Jesus' delight was to hear from God and obey him. That is the fearing of God. It comes with part A and part B. And we must learn the fear of God in our life if we are to learn, class, what the good life is all about. Now there's a couple of scriptures just to show you how this flows. Psalm 40, verse 3. The psalmist says that many will see and fear. Many will see and fear God. And what does that mean? It means they will put their trust in him. Secondly, Deuteronomy 6:4, the Lord commanded us to obey and to fear the Lord our God. Obedience, trusting. We have learned that this is crucial in every aspect of our living. And God has designed this not only for the good times in life, but for the times of difficulty. Our instructor today, King David, we're not going to take time for it, but you can look at the superscription for this psalm. Go back to just before verse 1 of Psalm 34. This is a psalm of David when he pretended to be insane before Abimelech. You want to talk about a time of difficulty in David's life? Scripture's telling us this word came from a great time of difficulty in David's life. A painful experience. A life-threatening experience in David's life. And he is telling us that if we're going to come to grips with what the good life is all about, it's going to fundamentally be built on learning the fear of God in my life and your life. My wife and I do a number of spiritual practices together as a married couple. And one of them is in the evening that we share a devotional time together before we go to bed. And we've been reading recently about God's goodness from Randy Alcorn. And Malcolm Muggeridge is probably a name that may not be familiar to many of you. He was a British man, a journalist, an author, somewhat of a personality in Great Britain. He's now gone on to be with the Lord. But I came across this quote in our time together, and I wanted to share it with you this morning. This is what Malcolm Muggeridge said. He said, quote, "Contrary to what might be expected, I look back on experiences that at the time seemed especially desolating and painful with particular satisfaction. Indeed, I can say with complete truthfulness that everything I have learned in my 75 years in this world, everything that has truly enhanced and enlightened my existence has come through affliction and not through happiness, whether it was pursued or attained." The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And part of that wisdom leads us to conclude that if I am going to experience the good life, it's going to flow out of a fear of God, especially in times of difficulty. Well, we've got four more lessons to go, and all four of those flow out of this first fundamental lesson. The next two flow out regarding trust. The final two flow out regarding obedience. Let's continue on. We don't want that bell to ring, do we? Oh, maybe you do want that bell to ring. I don't know. Number two, trust is expressed as I continually or consistently offer heartfelt praise. If I'm going to be a life that experiences the good life, it's going to flow out of a consistent, heartfelt praise. Look how the psalm begins. David writes, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Our esteemed instructor has provided us with a wonderful example in the words of our text this morning. He says that praise is fitting. Praise is befitting the good life. And it is in every situation. It is fitting at all times and in all situations. Not just when you're on Easy Street, but when you're in the school of hard knocks. It is appropriate and fitting to bring praise to God. But not only is it in every situation, but it's to be expressed. In fact, he said that praise will always be on my what? Lips. You know, when I was in first and second grade, that was a while ago, I was going to School 70 in Indianapolis, Indiana. I enjoyed school. I hope you enjoy class this morning, too. And during my time in first and second grade, they actually had a cherub choir where we would have to try out, and they would dress us in little white smocks like angels. And we would get on risers. There were probably a dozen of us. And we would sing at various times. And I got into cherub choir in the first grade. Boy, I was happy about that. And then came second grade, and I tried out, and they accepted me, but they took me aside, and they said, Bruce, they said, you can be in the cherub choir, but we want you to be a silent singer. I guess my voice matured a little early. I don't know what it was. But they asked me to be a silent singer. Move your lips. Don't make any noise. I hope that doesn't describe us as Christians, that we're silent singers. Our lips move, but nothing really occurs. Praise is fitting in every situation, and praise ought to be expressed from the lips of our mouth. You say, well, I'm not made that way. Fact is, God wants to remake us. Amen. God wants to remake us. He wants to make us that way because that's part of the fear of God. Not only that, it's to be expressed, but it's to be God-focused. He says that my soul will boast in the Lord. You know, praise wraps us up. in Him. We got to get away from focusing on all about me. Oh, if you only knew the troubles I had. We need to lift our eyes. From whence comes our help? We need to be boasting in the Lord. It's to be God-focused. Verse 3 says it's to be done together. Glorify, he says, the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Can praise be done alone? Absolutely. Should it be done alone? Absolutely. But God says there's something about praise being better together. Let's do it together. This is like practice, brethren, from the good life to the best life, when unnumbered saints will gather around the throne. Can you imagine what that'll be like when we sing praise to our King? It's better together. And then finally, it's an encouragement as well. The text says, let the afflicted, verse 2, let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Some of you may be wondering if I've taken any medication. I have. Yeah, I have. There may be some afflicted here this morning that need the medication of praise to be brought to the point of rejoicing. You may be here for somebody else today. And so, if we're going to understand the fundamental lessons of the good life, we find the fear of God brings us to the point of heartfelt praise. But not only that, it brings us as well to trust as we humbly seek God in prayer. Lesson number 3, trust is expressed as we humbly seek Him in prayer. Verse 4 says, I sought the Lord. I sought the Lord. You can note it later in this text, but David says it multiple times. Verse 4, I sought the Lord. Verse 6, this poor man, this humble man called out to the Lord. Verse 17, the righteous cry out. His prayer is marked by intensity, purpose, and focus. If I'm a man who fears God, then that means my position of trust leads me to humbly seek Him in prayer. We need to be often reminded that prayer is the battle. So often we treat it as a prelude to the battle and not the battle itself. Too often we dabble in prayer rather than diving in. And I would submit that this happens because we lack the fear of God. We lack the fact that we are trusting God as we lay our requests before Him. James says, we don't have because we don't ask, or we don't have because we ask for the wrong reasons. Trouble, difficulty, hardship is an opportunity for us to express our trust in an all-knowing and all-powerful God, to know that He hears as we cast our care upon Him. Look at verse 18 in our text this morning. Verse 18 speaks of those who are brokenhearted and those who are crushed in spirit. You see, that's one of the real tensions of the Christian life, is that we can live the good life in the midst of affliction, in the midst of brokenheartedness, as God hears and answers our prayers. And all through this text, we are reassured over and over again that He hears, He delivers, He blesses, He makes radiant, He protects with the angel of the Lord encompassing around us. Learning the fear of the Lord, it's a task that we pursue for the rest of our lives. But it's trust as we praise Him. It's trust as we humbly pray. And now we move to lesson number 4. Obedience is expressed as I walk toward purity. As I walk toward purity. Verse 13 of our text, it says, to keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. Well, we know that our lips are going to be focused on praising God, which means lies should be far from us. We can't expect the world to be pure. Too often, I think, we put too much expectation in thinking the world should be pure, when we should be moving toward purity in our own lives. You know, He speaks about our language. And really, that's the tip of the iceberg. Because what He is focusing here is not just on our language, but our language is used then to represent every aspect of our life. Our thought life, our married life, our dating life, our friendships, how we text, how we email, how we handle ourselves at work. As believers, we move toward purity as an outcome of fearing God. We must be done with a way of thinking that says, no one will know, no one will get hurt, it doesn't really matter, it's only a little sin. As believers who long to love life and see good days, we must be done with such kinds of thinking. Obedience is expressed as I walk toward purity. The scripture tells us it's well worth it because blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The good life is not about doing as I please, but doing as God pleases. Purity, it's the mark of the God-fearing life. Lesson number 5. Thought we'd never get here, class. I think we're going to make it before the bell rings. That final lesson, obedience, is expressed as I focus on peace. Verse 14 says, seek peace and pursue it. The Word is constantly pushing us toward peace. It's kind of ironic, isn't it? It's pushing us toward peace. We don't want to speak lies because that disrupts our relationship with God and with others. And it does not foster a relationship of peace. Listen to what the scripture says. Romans 14, 19. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. It means a full-on commitment. Make every effort. In fact, it says the same thing in Hebrews 12. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy, or to be pure. For without holiness, no one will see the Lord. And so, if I am to be a man that fears God and to enjoy life and see many good days, then I must be concerned and focused in terms of peacemaking. There may be a relationship that needs some grace and mercy applied. Am I willing to take the first step to pursuing peace? Or am I just going to make excuses of why I am not? And so, class, as we bring it back together, we understand the good life is not about the externals. It's not about the circumstances of life. The good life is about the internals of the heart. It's about what's going on inside you and me, despite the circumstances. It's like Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verses that I know are familiar to you. Paul said, I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether it be fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do everything through Him who strengthens me. Paul's describing the fear of God there. Despite the circumstances, as we trust God, the good life is possible despite our circumstances. Now remember, we said we learn the fear of God. This is a lifelong commitment as we walk together with Him. But the good life is possible only because God is good. And if perchance some may be here this morning that have never responded and given, turned from their sins, confessed their sins to Christ, and turned to Christ to save them, you have no possibility of the good life. Only a Christless eternity stands in front of you. Don't let that continue for one more day. Talk to me afterwards. Talk to someone else in the church. But come to Christ and begin your journey of the good life. David said, open wide, taste and see that the fear of the Lord is good. You know, some of you didn't know this morning you were taking a class. And when you found out, you thought, maybe I'll just audit the class. I don't take it for credit. Hey, we're all going through it. You might as well take it for credit. It might as well count for something. The greatest thing of glorifying God through the good life. It'll be much better for you in the long run if you do. We're here today not just to hear about the fundamentals of the good life, but He wants us to master them. The good life is not just for some, but it's for everyone who fears God. The good life is not just for those who get the breaks in life, but it's for those who are broken before God. It's not for the powerful. It's not for those who are in control, but it's for the contrite. It's not based on circumstances. It's not based on faith. But it's based on the fear of God. Class, you're dismissed in just a moment. May it be that we would go committed to live the good life, to love life, and see many good days. Let's pray. Father, use your word in your people.
that we might be pleasing to you. Thank you again. Help us to that end, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.